Today's message is Road to Emmaus. Road to Emmaus is the last and final message in our series on Jesus the Son of Man from the Gospel according to Luke. It's going to talk about the resurrection, a very important part of our faith. Without the resurrection, we have no hope. We just like anybody else. But because Jesus rose from the dead, he's given us hope. And in this last story from the Gospel of Luke, we're going to look at two disciples who were giving up, going home. But on the road to Damascus, they met the master. Now, he wasn't wearing a COVID mask, but he was not recognizable at the time. But when he revealed himself, the Bible says that, man, didn't our hearts burn when he gave them this fantastic Bible study. So let us pray. Lord, we thank you and we love you. This is Mission Sunday, dear God. What fitting into this series on Missions Sunday to talk about the resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for giving us the 24th chapter of Luke, for giving us this wonderful story of hope for those who have lost all hope. And I pray that as we look at the lessons and the message from today's sermon, that we would leave this place encouraged, with our hearts burning, to tell somebody else about the good news of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. The song, the last song that the choir sang and brought forth was the song that we always started out with at Berean Bible Baptist Church in North Carolina, where I was an associate pastor. And so it was good to hear that, because on the 20th of this month, I believe it's been 36 years since I accepted the call to the Lord, or rather did my trial or initial sermon. So it was good to hear that song again, because we sing it every Sunday. And I'm still here. I don't know why I'm still here, but he's still keeping me. Sometimes I joke to myself about how God the Father and God the Son are sitting next to each other, and Jesus looks and says, Holy Spirit just sent me a text. He said, you check out Kasem. And said, look, I know he's going to do it. I told you he was going to do it. That boy, I don't know what I'm going to do with him. I don't know what I'm going to do with him, because I'm always doing something crazy. But God still loves me despite myself. So I just thank God for loving me and keeping me. And church, I want you to know that I was joyous yesterday, because we were in the parking lot. And I remember June 2020, the parking lot was a sad place. It was a sad place. We had learned that Pastor Rick had gone home, been promoted to be with the Lord. And let's just say we were some sad-looking people. Understood. But yesterday, I saw some smiles, some laughter, and it was good to see. Today we're going to talk about two fellows who are looking kind of sad and kind of down after having heard some news up in Jerusalem, and they basically called it quits and were going home. And that's today's story. He presents this story, does Dr. Luke, of two disciples who on their afternoon of the first Easter Sunday were sadly returning home to their village of Emmaus, some 7 miles from Jerusalem. These two devout but disappointed followers were discussing what happened with the Master. When our Lord, newly risen from the grave, suddenly appeared to them on the road to Damascus. He listened to their discussions about the events of the last few days and how Christ had been handed over to the authorities and how they had crucified him and how the women had reported that morning that he was alive, but none of the 11 disciples had actually seen him. These two travelers on their way to Emmaus were in a world of confusion. We're going to look at Luke's account this morning and how their encounter with the risen Savior caused their hearts to burn as he broke down the Old Testament scriptures. I wish I was there. Of God's plan of salvation and how his death and resurrection were necessary for you and me for the redemption of fallen mankind. There are 4 points today of our message, The Road to Emmaus. Point number one, confusion and despair. Confusion and despair can lead to hopelessness. Confusion and despair can lead to hopelessness. Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 16, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 7 through 19. Our second point, concerned help draws near to give hope. Concerned help draws near to give hope. Luke 24, verses 17 through 18. And then we have corrective hope from the scriptures. Corrective hope from the scriptures. 24th chapter of Luke, verses 19 through 27, and then Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Luke chapter 24, 19 through 27, Romans 15, verse 4. The last point will be comfort from a living hope. Comfort from a living hope. Luke 24, verses 28 through 35. Psalms 19, verses 7 through 8, and then 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Now, before we get into the message, I just wanted to bring some information that has happened before so that we can put that into context of today's message. Now, several times throughout the Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels, and then also in John, we hear Jesus giving some instructions regarding what's going to happen to him within the realm of God's plan of salvation. I'm just going to give you the ones from Luke, just three of them from Luke. And in Luke 9, Jesus is predicting his arrest and death. But let me tell you something. As we go through some of these passages, the disciples, in some way or another, act like deer with the headlights on. They don't get what he's saying. And Jesus has to use that occasion to teach them something. So in Luke chapter 9, verses 21 through 22, it says, "And he strictly warned and commanded them to tell no one, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders
and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. This is not fake news. This is real news. Are you following me? This is real news. It came from Jesus' own lips. And then in Luke 9, verses 43 through 45, listen. But while everyone marveled at all the things which Jesus did, he said to his disciples, let these words sink down into your ears. Does it sound like he wants them to get it? For the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men. But they did not understand this saying, and it was hidden from them, so that they did not perceive it. And they were afraid to ask him about this saying. Again, la 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 la. We don't want to talk about Jesus. We don't hear about you dying. Luke chapter 18, 31 through 34. He took the 12 aside and said to them, behold, we're going up to Jerusalem. And all the things that are written by the prophets, in other words, in the Old Testament, concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. God has a plan. He put it in the Old Testament. Fellas, it's going to be accomplished. God is watching over his word to accomplish it. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him. And the third day, he will rise again. But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. So the Holy Spirit at this time had not come. John 14 and 26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things I said to you. So we're going to give these two disciples a little slack because the Spirit of God hadn't come yet. Why? Because Jesus was still taking care of his sheep. And we know his sheep scattered when they came to arrest him in the garden, didn't they? They left. All the little chickens left the coop. They abandoned Jesus. One of them betrayed him. Peter, he even acted like, I don't even know who you're talking about. Leave me alone. Oh, but listen. That's what happens when confusion and despair come along. Point number one, confusion and despair can lead to hopelessness. We're looking at Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 16. Later that day, as Luke 24 reveals, two men are walking together on a road, going to a village called Emmaus. The men are discussing all of the events of the past few days, and we will see that they are indeed troubled. See, when the women came back and they explained what the two angels had said to them, and they repeated what Jesus had said, that he would be raised on the third day, he was going to be beaten and scourged and all of that. And so when they reported that, and that he wasn't there, the soldiers weren't there. If you remember the first time the angel came, rolled away the stone, the soldiers that were guarding the tomb, they were like dead men. Then they split the scene, and we later learned that they had some more fake news because the leaders of the religious folks said, look, we're going to pay you a little something, something. You just keep quiet about it. Look, those very powerful and strong disciples overpowered you, and that's what happened to the body of Jesus Christ. Fake news. But just like us, when we have trouble, we get confused sometimes. Sometimes when we are going through pain, sickness, financial difficulties, things start to happen to us saved folk. We get confused amidst all of that trouble. We start to focus on ourselves. The only problems we see are the ones that impact us. See, it's a perception problem. It's a perception problem. There is a problem, but I only see it my way. I don't see what God sees. I only see what my problem is. And I sometimes get dull in my ear. My eyes, they fail me. I don't see clearly because of the trouble that has come upon me. These disciples had some trouble. For the one that they believed in and believed he was the Messiah was dead. And they weren't sure because the 11 disciples and the others that were with them, part of the 70, they said they didn't believe the women. They thought they were having wives' tales. Now, I know what a wives' tale is. I'm sure that's some husband tales, too. They tell stuff. But listen, they didn't get it. And so they left. Now, do you know that Jesus is the shepherd? He's the good shepherd. He'll leave the 99 to go save the one. Well, he had two sheep that decided to fly the coop and go back home. They were blinded. They were without hope. They were confused. Look at verse 13. Now, behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. Keep that in mind, 7 miles, that's about 2.5 hours of walking. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed in that word reason, in the Greek it means toss back and forth. In other words, they were having a, not an argument, but a healthy debate, if you will, about the events of the day. They were going at it, in other words. And so it says that Jesus drew near and went with them. See, he heard them discussing fake news. He heard them discussing some fake news. So, I got to leave the 99 and go help these two. So it was, verse 16, but their eyes were restrained. You remember these other verses that we talked about, how they couldn't get it? In this case, they couldn't recognize the risen Christ. He was not recognizable in his glorified body. He certainly didn't look like the Jesus that was on the cross. And let me just share this with you. In his glorified body, basically, the only thing we're going to see is the holes in his hands. He looks good. I love ones who had cancer, people who had lost their limbs. They got their limbs. They don't look rough. In their glorified bodies, they're going to be looking good. But Jesus carries the only thing that man made that's in heaven. And those are the holes, the scars in his hand and feet. So they couldn't understand this person that they saw who came along and drew near to help them in their time of despair. You see, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 16. This is why they were sad. Look what it says. And if Christ is not risen, they thought he was dead. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. Plus, Paul telling us this. And you are still in your sins. Look at the next verse. And then also those who have fallen asleep have perished. 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, if the only hope in Christ we have is right now on this side of heaven, We are all men most pitiable, miserable. That's why they were miserable, because their hope was dead. Their despair, their doubt. Jesus came alongside them and listened to their conversation. But these men didn't know it was Jesus. This lack of recognition is not necessarily their fault, because the Spirit of God had not come, and they were kept from recognizing him. Which takes us to our next point. Concerned help draws near to give hope. A good shepherd who's watching the 100 sheep that he has in his charge, and he notices that one of those lambs has wandered off somewhere. He has to leave the 99 to go save the one. Jesus had said, "Father, I've kept all of my 12 disciples, except the one who's not saved." You know who he is, Judas. And I've kept him. Now he's still trying to keep his sheep. Spirit of God hadn't come yet. He's got to keep them together. These are part of that 70 that traveled with Jesus. All right? He cares about them too, not just the 12 disciples or 11 now. He still wants to minister to them. God still wants to minister to us when we go walking somewhere else that we don't belong. Let's look at the verse 17. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" He knows they're talking about fake news. I think he knows what happened on the cross. Don't you think so? I think he knows what happened in the tomb. Don't you think so? Of course he does. Yeah, but he's going to ask them some questions, because he's concerned about their words. He's listening to their debate. Hebrews 13 and 5 says about the Lord, "For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." He is the good shepherd and will leave the 99 to go save one lost sheep. And in verse 17, when he says, "What kind of conversation are you having with one another? And you, as you walk, and you're sad," he notices what's going on. Luke's account says that their faces are downcast as you look at other passages of scriptures. Other versions, rather. Then the one whose name was Cleopas. Now, I believe that Luke probably talked to him. He was one of those eyewitnesses that he talked to, because this story is only found in the Gospel of Luke. And Luke was that kind of guy, digging around for truth. He said to him in verse 18, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? Where you been, bro? Haven't you seen the news? It's been all over Twitter." Man. When Jesus asked what they're discussing, the men explained their version of the past day's events from their perspective, as well as their disappointment over the hopes which seemed unfulfilled, and confusion about what the women had seen at the tomb. Remember, the disciples that were there and the others that were there, which they were there, they thought that the women had made that up. But let me tell you that Jesus is the answer for confusion. He can take what seems confusing to us and he can explain it. He uses his word. When we are confused, we must not only pray about our situation, but we should also seek God's word for guidance. God is smarter than we are. He's certainly smarter than me, which takes us to our next point. Corrective hope from the scriptures. Corrective hope from the scriptures. Point number three. Corrective hope from the scriptures. Luke 24, verses 19 through 27, and Romans 15 and 4. Verse 19, he says, what things? He wants to hear what they have to say from their perspective, since what he heard was fake news. So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet. They have already downgraded him from the Son of Man. They had already downgraded him from the Son of God to a mere prophet. Oops, do you know who you're talking to? Huh? Mighty indeed a word before God and all the people. Oh, they lifted him up, but they knocked him down a couple of pegs. Verse 20, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. Now, sadly for the chief priests and the leaders, the scribes, those that were against Jesus, whatever they had done had all gotten out. Everybody knew about Judas. Everybody knew what they did. And even though they paid some soldiers to lie about how these mighty strong disciples, scaredy cats, somehow overpowered them at the tomb and moved that big giant-sized rock out the way, even though an angel did it. Fake news. As the promised Messiah, Jesus did not come to set up a political kingdom. That's fake news. But that's what they thought Jesus was going to do. They weren't the only ones. Judas thought that. Many people thought that. In John chapter 6, people wanted Jesus to be king so he could be a political king, a political kingdom. Fake news. The real news, Jesus died for our sins on purpose to redeem us as the suffering servant found in Isaiah 53 and reconcile us back to the Father. That's the real news. This was their problem. Their focus was out of focus. It was not in sync with God's word. That's not what Jesus said. That's not what Jesus told them. But they were dull of mind. They didn't get it. They stuck to what was in their perception of what to think about Jesus. There's always some fake news somewhere. In the book of Acts chapter 12, Peter was in prison, right? And he was miraculously released by an angel. And he walked right past the guards, didn't he? And over at the house of the mother of John Mark, they were having a prayer session. They were going, Lord, Father, release Peter. Release Peter. Oh, heavenly Father, let him go. Bring him out, Jesus. There's a knock at the outer gate. It's Peter. He's out. He goes knocking at the door. Rhoda comes and hears his voice. She doesn't open the door. She walks over and says, Peter's here. He's outside. I hear his voice. Girl, you crazy. They said, you out your mind. Thank you, Lord. We just asked you to release Peter. She said, no, I'm not. No, he's out there. Oh, that must be his angel. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Pray the Lord. Please release. Peter's outside, knocking at the gate. Fake news. They believe something different from what was real. Although Jesus was the promised Messiah, the one who could rightfully rule over Egypt, over Israel, that's not why he came the first time. He refused to be involved in all those political issues of the day. He refused to be made king. He told his disciples, don't tell people that I'm the Messiah. He withdrew from confrontation with religious leaders. He never incited the people against Rome. The reason he acted this way was because he was not trying to be king of the world system. He had a different kingdom when he talked to Pilate. It's not of this world, he said. Yes, in verse 22, certain women of our company, they're explaining it to Jesus, who arrived at the tomb early, they astonished us. Verse 23, when they did not find his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. They didn't see him. They still didn't believe. Jesus expresses some gentle rebuke. He says, how foolish. The word for foolish doesn't mean stupid. It means unwise. How unwise you are. Now, slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. You're not paying attention to the word. They did not believe that the Messiah had to suffer those things. Jesus explained to him that's what it was all about. First, the Messiah had to suffer, and then he would enter into his glory. They got three problems. One, they don't recognize Christ. Secondly, they don't understand Scripture. And thirdly, they could not comprehend God's glory. Holy Spirit hadn't been sent at that time. But listen, there's still hope found in the Word of God. Jesus had, in John 5 and 39, he had a confrontation with some religious leaders of his day. He said to them, you search the Scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me. The whole Bible, folks, the entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is about the story of Jesus Christ. All Scripture bears witness to him. Sometimes our problems stem from our assumption that God is part of our story. We include him in our story. But the opposite, my friends, is true. We are part of God's story. Y'all not listening to me? Y'all not listening? Did you know that you and I are part of God's story? See, we have the freedom to live free. Indeed, just like Job, he was living the good life, but he was living within God's plan. In Job 13 and verse 15, he says, though he slay me, yet shall I live. Now, we love that verse, but the context of it really is, even though God is mean to me, and if he kills me, I'm still going to trust him. Pat you on the back, Job, but you don't talk. Boy, do you know who you're talking about? See, he had no input in that conversation between God the Father and Satan. He didn't have no input at all. Yet, his story has been preserved in God's Word. And it helps us to understand our struggle to understand the problem of suffering. Even for the upright and righteous living in a fallen world. Yet still trusting him through the testing and the strengthening of our faith. He didn't have a clue that he was actually going to be part of God's story to help people like you and me understand suffering when we get it. Even though we didn't, quote, do anything to deserve all this trouble we have. Are you following me? We are part of God's story. Look what he says in verse 25. Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. You had your scriptures, but you're slow of heart. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? See, Jesus is going to explain the Old Testament stories from Moses to the prophets and how they were all fully and completely point to Christ himself. Verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures that are concerning himself. And there's a bunch of them. You had 2.5 hours of Bible study with Jesus. Man, I wish I was there. Woo! Man, no wonder their hearts were burning. They had the best teacher ever teaching them the word of God. And it was all about him explaining how they are part of God's story for salvation. They did that so that we might have hope. Jesus listening to their concerns, but then he corrected them. Sometimes we have friends that say, that's right, girl. Yeah, go ahead and lead that man. That's right, sister. Go ahead and lead that man. That's right, brother. Go dump that woman. You don't need her. We don't need friends like that. We need friends like Jesus who will draw near when we're going through trouble and give us some scripture to help understand the situation that we're going through. He taught them about himself so that they would have a better understanding of the events, not the fake news, that had just taken place. We don't want to follow the paths of the scribes and the Pharisees who, unlike Timothy, who from childhood knew the scriptures, which were able to make Timothy wise concerning salvation. We don't want to be like them guys. We want to know about the truth. Matthew 12 and 38 through 41, the religious leaders, the Pharisees and scribes, they say, we want a sign from you. We want a sign from you to prove that you are who you say you are. And Jesus said, it's an evil and unfaithful generation that craves for signs. The only sign given to you will be the sign of the prophet Jonah, who were 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly before God let him out and gave him new life. That's the only clue you're going to get. And they got that because on the 3rd day, Jesus rose from the dead. He said, for just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so will the Son of Man in the heart of the earth for 3 days and nights. The men of Nineveh will stand up to this generation, and they will condemn it, for they repented while Jonah preached to them. And you have more than Jonah. You got the Son of God preaching to you, and you still won't believe. That's why we want to pray and look to the scriptures in times of trouble, so Jesus can correct us. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, the word of God is. Which takes us to our next point. Comfort from a living hope. Comfort from a living hope. Verse 28. Then they drew near to Jerusalem. They've gone about 2.5 hours of traveling. They were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. They went from afternoon to evening. And he said to them, okay. And he went to stay with them. Now, John 15, verse 7 talks about abiding in him and his words abiding in us. They liked what they heard. It was encouragement to them. It gave them some living hope. Verse 30 says, now it came to pass as he sat at table with them. Remember, they didn't recognize him, right? This is some strange dude who doesn't have a clue what's going on, right? So they're at table with him, that he took bread. Now listen, this is what the host does. The host is the one who takes the bread and passes it out. He's not the host. He's a guest, right? But he takes the host's seat, and he breaks the bread. He blessed it, and he broke it. Does this sound familiar to you? And he gave it to them. Verse 31, then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Now let me ask you a question. If you're going to give somebody a piece of bread, are you going to use gloves? Are you going to use tongs to give them the bread back in that day? What do you use? What's wrong with Jesus' hand? Got a little hole in it, don't it? Oh, they recognized Jesus. They saw the hole in his hands. Their eyes were open. Do you remember Thomas? Old Doubting Thomas, they call him. What did Jesus say? Thomas, look at my hand. Put your hand in my side. And he said, oh, my Lord and my God. See, they recognized Jesus. They didn't recognize him before, but now they got it. Oh, the shepherd, he's come and saved these two lambs from the depression, from the despair, from hopelessness, and he's given them a living hope. Verse 32 says, and they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked, gave us some deep Bible study with us on the road for 2.5 hours, and while he opened the scriptures to us, Psalms 19, verses 7 and 8. That's why you want to look at your Bibles, folks. It's not just there to sit on a coffee table. It's just not an app on your phone. One of the things I love about taking the bus to work is that I'll most likely be reading or studying scripture on the bus. And sometimes I'll take the bus from the downtown 35th Street down the street to where I work. But sometimes it's so good, I'm going to go ahead and walk for 20 minutes so I can keep reading because it's good. Oh, it's so good. Listen, it says the law of the Lord is perfect. It changes. It converts the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, not fake, making wise the simple. Remember, they were not wise. He called them foolish ones. They became wise. The statutes of the Lord are right. Look what it does. Rejoicing the heart. Weren't they sad? Weren't they depressed? Weren't they in despair? And now what? They rejoicing. Huh? Their hearts are burning from the word that they heard. The commandment of the Lord is pure and it enlightens the eyes. Remember, their eyes were closed, but now their eyes are being enlightened. Woo! So they rose up in verse 33, that very hour. Now, didn't they just leave Jerusalem going down here for 2.5 hours? They're sitting at the table. Have you ever walked for 2.5 hours? I have. I walked 10 miles, 9 miles from Ahoskie to Winter, North Carolina with a suitcase. I was tired when I got home. We had no Uber back then, no little taxi cabs. My mom and dad were at work. I walked from the bus station all the way home, 9 miles. I was wore out when I got home. But listen, they so excited and so joyful. their heartburn went from the food they ate. Their heartburn was from listening to the word of God from the master teacher, Jesus, their Lord, their God. Did they wait? No. They went 2.5 miles back uphill this time to Jerusalem to go tell everybody. It says, verse 34, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that they had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Now, it's not part of our message today, but in verse 36, guess who showed up as they were finished talking? Guess who showed up? Jesus just happened to appear. Hi, how y'all doing? Whoa, and they thought he was a ghost. Jesus said, oh, y'all got something to eat? Y'all have something to eat? Do ghosts eat? Watch this. Boom. Boom. Oh, it's you. Saints, Jesus is not in a grave. He's risen. Did you know that? The reason you are in this room is because he was risen. He is guaranteed. It's a receipt that the debt has been paid. He who had no sin paid for all the sins that we had. He died in our place. And his account was so good with the Father that said, I'm going to go ahead and cancel everything. Satan, you ain't got nothing to say about it. Everything is canceled. They free, and they free indeed. He's risen. He's our living hope. 1 Peter 1 and 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, saints, he has given us new birth into a living hope. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Saints, he's risen. Now, you might not be one of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. I don't know what road you might be traveling this afternoon, but I want you to know he's risen. I want you to know, keep being in the Word. Don't look at your own perspective. Let me break that down a little bit. In the elevator that's going up, you can get in the elevator and do whatever you want to do in the elevator. Jump up and down, do whatever. But guess what? You're in God's elevator. You're going where he's taking you. I don't care what you do in the elevator. And if you're on the escalator of God's plan, you can go up there. You can try and be funny and start to look like you're walking down, but the elevator's still going up. I don't care what you do. You're still in God's plan because you're in his escalator. No matter what you do. So listen. You can't live your life thinking God is a part of your plan. You got to remember, everything we do, we're part of his story. If you can get that straight, if you can keep that straight, stay in his word and let your heart burn come, you're going to be all right because he is risen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for letting our hearts burn this morning as we look to the scriptures. God, as you've opened them up to us, that we can be happy and joyful with hope in our hearts because we know that you have risen. We know that you care about us. No matter what trouble we're going through, you are with us. And you will always be with us to the end of the age. We thank you for being with us. Thank you for helping us to understand our perspective is backwards when we don't think that we are in your story. Father, is anybody here who does not know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? I pray right now that they realize that all of us have sin. We have to confess that to you, Heavenly Father. And then we have to believe that Jesus Christ, who died and rose again, did that so that If we would believe on him, we would have everlasting life. I pray that they would ask Jesus into their heart, forgive them of their sins, and live for him. The Bible says, trust in the Lord, right? But it says, believe on him, and we will be saved. Acts 16:31. Believe on Jesus.